Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
So, we're starting a brand new teacher series today, and the title of the series that we're starting today is titled, You Want Blank, But You Need Blank. Y'all get that? So take notes. I'm going to encourage everybody to take notes today because there's going to be some key points that I'm going to be giving you guys today, or some key phrases, quotes, or whatever that I'm going to be giving you guys today. Y'all can use this as some food, some meat, some inspiration throughout the week. I'm telling y'all, I got some good stuff for you, okay? But again, the title is You Want Blank, But You Need Blank. You know, there are a lot of things in our life that... a lot of things that we want, you know, a lot of things, how do I say this? A lot of things in our life that we want, and we put so much effort on trying to get these things. You guys can relate to, you know, we want more money. We want better job, a better career. We want bigger houses. We want cars, trips, vacations, bigger TVs. Man, you know what? I was on Facebook yesterday. For a little bit. And, you know, there was something that I noticed. There's a group. At least those of you that's here in Memphis, you might be a part of this group also. It's called Where Does Black Memphis Get It, or something like that it's called. Anyway, it's a group where people be putting all types of recommendations. People be looking for this and looking for that. And you know, so they, people share information, share resources, right? But one of the things that I noticed on there yesterday, there was so many people yesterday looking for somebody to mount their TVs. You know, I need somebody to mount a TV. I need somebody to mount a TV. I saw a bunch of people in there. And I'm like, these folks done went out there. Y'all know that the Super Bowl is one of the biggest TV selling moments of the year, right? Because everybody got to get a bigger, better TV for the Super Bowl. All these people was out here trying to get people to mount their TVs because they didn't went out and bought them a bigger TV for the Super Bowl. But, you know, we want bigger TVs. We want, you know, we want the latest gadgets. You know, we want more clothes, more shoes, more purses. I'm sure y'all women can relate to me on that. But, you know, there's so many things that we want, and we spend a lot of time going after these things. We spend a lot of time trying to get these things. You know, and the list just goes on and on and on. You know, not only do we want these things, but guess what? We also want status. I guess I'm going to say that one more time. Not only do we want things, but we also want status. You know, we want to be seen. We want to be treated. We want to be respected on high levels. Everybody want to be seen on a high level. You know what I'm saying? Everybody want to be viewed, or everybody want to be treated, you know, on a high level, be respected on a high level. You know, whether it's through your job or your career position, you know, your community efforts, through family and through friends and relationships, through associates, through your educational level. You know, there are so many things that we want. And we spend a lifetime trying to attain these things. We spend so much of our time trying to attain these things from the moment that we enter into school, starting in kindergarten. You know, we entered into an educational system that teaches us, trains us, molds us, you know, to get a job, to get a good job, to get a certain type of job so we can make a certain type of money or get a, I mean, they teach us to get a good education. Let me back up some. They teach us to get a good education. You know, do well in school. So if you do well in school, then you'll be able to go to college. And when you go to college, you'll be able to figure out and decide on a career, a job path that you want to go so that you can make the type of money that you want to make, so that you can live the life that you want to live and buy the house that you want and buy the cars that you want and take the trips that you want. And so y'all know what I'm saying. We spend a lifetime and we're molded, we're trained, you know, from a very young age that this is the path. This is the way you go. All right. So that you can, you do all this stuff so that you can attain all this stuff. You know, while we're spending so much time chasing the things that we want, maybe, just maybe, we should be spending more times chasing the things that we need. You know, when we look at this whole system that we're living in, that we've been brought up in, that we've been molded into, it's a system that is designed to, and it's the focus of it, the primary focus on it, is not so much on the things that we need and so forth, going after and attaining these things, going after and chasing these things, but it's more so geared on things that we want. All right. It's like, what do you want? What do you want? You know, some, you go to a business seminar, you go to some, you know, some type of business seminar or educational seminar. And, you know, if there's a question that's asked, you know, it's what do you want? You know, that's what people are going to ask. What do you want? Very seldomly in these situations, you know, these seminars and different things like that, you know, these enhancement seminars and classes and stuff like that. Very seldom do people ask you the question, what do you need? You know, they always ask you, what do you want? And then they teach you, they train you, they mold you into going after chasing those things that you want. The reason that we don't chase the things that we really need is because we've convinced ourselves that the things that we want are, in fact, the things that we need. I'm gonna say that one more time to make sure somebody heard me, okay? The reason that we don't chase the things that we really need is because we've convinced ourselves that the things that we want are the things that we need. We have deceived ourselves. We have bought into the lie that so many others have bought into. You know, this deception, it has derailed us from what's most important in life when it comes to our wants and our needs. So I'm sure you guys have figured this out by now, all right? So this series is going to be focused on our wants and our needs. And so this is what we're going to be looking at, all right? You know, I heard a quote a long time ago, and the quote is this. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. It says, do what you need to do until you can do what you want to do, all right? Our society has flipped that. Our society primarily teaches us to go after the things that we want. And so what we do, going after those things that we want before we actually go after those things that we need, all right? So it's like this right here. Let me try to help you out. What do you want? So do what you need to do in order to get what you want. No, flip it around. What do you need? All right. So anyway, we need to focus on our needs more than we focus on our wants. We are starting. So as I told you, we're starting this new series. It's titled, You Want Blank, But You Need Blank. So we're going to be focusing on our wants versus our needs. Every week, we're going to be exploring the things that we want versus the things that we need. The objective is to do what? Prioritize our values. Because we focus so much on our wants and not enough on our needs, our values have been, our values are not prioritized right. And so we need to prioritize our values. So that's the whole objective of this series that we're doing here. And, we have to understand this. Here's something else. I want you to write this down. You could tweet it, put it on Facebook real quick, whatever you want to put it. All right, put it on LinkedIn. And that is it. It is more important to live a life fulfilled than to live a life filled. All right. Say that one more time so you can write this down. It is more important to live a life fulfilled than to live a life filled. I shared this with you guys before at some point, maybe you don't remember. If you do, here we go. I remember years ago, me and Marguerite, we was trying to get a house. We was living in a duplex at the time, and we had Dion was a little boy, maybe like 2 or 3 years old. Nini was a little girl, a little baby, a year old, something like that. But we had just started our family, and we were living in a duplex. I can't remember if Marguerite was pregnant with Tia. I don't know. Anyway, but we needed more space. You know what I mean? We was in a little bitty old car. We really needed something bigger. You know, we was in a duplex, and we really needed something a little bit. We was like, okay, our family is expanding, so we got to do something here soon. You know, so we were trying to get a house, and our financial situation. You know how young couples do. You know, we just We didn't have any real good financial training, so we just did what we did. And I'm sure all of y'all can relate to me. And so I remember we went down and sat down and talked to a financial advisor. And we was like, you know, we're trying to get a house, and everywhere, every direction we go, it's like, man, we keep running into all these brick walls and stuff. So what do we need to do? We got to get a house. And so he said, okay, he said, I'll help you guys out. You know, I'll give you some advice. I'll put together a 5-year plan for you. He said, I'll put together a 5-year plan for you. He said, if you follow this plan, you'll be able to get a house real soon. All right. He said, but I need you to be totally transparent with me. I need to see your entire finances. I need to see every penny, every cent, and see so I can figure out where everything is going. And that way I could put together an effective plan for you. He said, okay, cool. So we did that. We got him everything. We sat down with him after we got all of everything together for him. And he looked at our situation and assessed it. And he said, hey, he said, you guys make a lot of money. He said, y'all make plenty of money to get, you know, a really nice house, the type of house that you want. He said, your problem is you like stuff. He said, if we can get rid of the stuff, we can get you a house real fast. And so I was like, okay, well, let's get rid of the stuff. You know, so what happened was, we were more focused on filling our lives with stuff and not so much focused on living a fulfilled life. You know, so it's more important that we live a life that's fulfilled than live a life that is filled. Filled with what? Filled with stuff. You know, I don't want my life to fill with a whole lot of insignificant, unimportant stuff that brings me no real purpose or fulfillment. I want my life to be filled with things that will make me a better person and things that will enable me to do what? To help others along the way. I want to be the best person that I can be, you know, imperfect in a whole lot of ways, but the best person that I can be. And at the same time, I want to help some people along the way. If you're taking notes, here's a scripture I want you to write down, and that is 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17. It says this, it says, do not love this world. You guys have heard this scripture before, I'm sure, in some form or another. It says, do not love the world, nor the things that it offers you. It says, for when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Verse 16 says, for the world offers only what? Only a craving. You guys know cravings, they come and go, right? Cravings are not permanent. Cravings are temporary, right? It says, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything that we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. It says, and this world is fading away along with everything that people, what? Everything that people crave. He's letting us know that cravings are temporary. They are not lasting. They are not forever. But anyone who does what pleases God will do what? Will live forever. This world has tricked us into seeking temporary gratifications and experiences that money can buy. When we look at our lives and we look at the things that we're chasing after, the things that we're going after, the things that we're spending so much trying to attain, we'll find that a lot of this stuff is what? Temporary gratification. And also they're experiences that money can buy. As Christians, we must clearly understand the difference between needs and wants. That's the objective. We need to prioritize our values. And when we clearly understand the difference between needs and wants, it's going to help us in prioritizing our values. So what are needs? Needs are things that are necessary for living. That's what a need is. And here's what some basic needs are. Food, water, clothing, shelter. These are all basic needs in our lives. Things that are necessary for living. You know, food is necessary, but not every food. You know, clothing and drinks, water is necessary, but not every type of drink is necessary. You know, clothing is necessary, but not every type of clothing or all clothing. You know, shelter is necessary, but not every shelter, you know, not all types. You know, it can be limited. So that's what needs are, things that are necessary for living. Here's what wants are. Wants are things that are not necessary for living. It's the opposite. Okay. Needs are things that are necessary for living. Wants are things that are not necessary for living. When trying to figure out the difference between a need and a want, the only way you're going to figure it out is you have to be honest with yourself, period. You have to be honest with yourself and ask yourself the question, is this a need or is this a want? And be honest with yourself. If you're not honest with yourself, you're going to continue to be deceived and fall into the lie that the world has given us. You know, here's something, some addition to a want. You know, wants are not necessarily sinful. Okay, so we want to clear that up right now. They're not necessarily sinful, but they may or may not be beneficial to experience or to possess. So they're not going to cause us to go to hell, per se. But that just may not be something that's beneficial at the time. Maybe somewhere along the line, later on in some years, it might be beneficial to you. But right now, maybe it's not beneficial to you, or maybe it's not beneficial for you to experience it or to possess it. You know, here's something else that'll help you determine what a want is. Wants are basically everything else beyond your needs. Once you figure out your needs, then just say everything else is a want. All right, just cut to the chase. Jesus, he teaches us not to be deceived by the things of this world or the things that this world has to offer. In the book of Matthew, write this scripture down. Matthew chapter 6 and 24, it says this, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to what? Money. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Money is a necessary thing also, okay? But our pursuit of money makes us not go after it so far as a necessity. Our pursuit of money makes us go after it to fulfill our wants and not so much our needs. You know what I'm saying? Not excluding our needs, but we pursue money in a way that causes us or motivates us. The reason that we're pursuing money is because we want to pursue our wants. I hope that makes sense to y'all. In this chapter, Jesus is letting us know that these things, these wants, are not bad in themselves. But when you make these wants our priority, we become enslaved to these things. They become the reason for what we do. Every time we wake up in the morning, this is the reason why we wake up, to pursue these things. I'm going to say this one more time. Jesus, he's letting us know that these things, these wants, they're not bad. They're not bad in themselves, but we make these wants our priority and we become enslaved by seeking them. In verse number 25 of that same book, the book of Matthew, chapter 6, and verse number 25, he says this. He says, that's why I tell you not to worry every day whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food, and isn't your body more than clothing? He said, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable than they are? Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? Jesus is letting us know here. He's letting us know it's food is necessary. Clothing is necessary. You know, water is necessary. Shelter is necessary. But our pursuit of them, the motivation or the priority of our pursuit of them, is twisted because we put them in such high priority to where we forget about certain things or other things that's more important. Now, God is going to provide us with our needs as long as our priorities and the things that we're pursuing on a daily are in the right place. There's a writer in the Bible said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed doing what? Begging bread. There is a place where God is going to take care of, just like he takes care of the birds and is flying in the sky and taking care, just like he's taking care of them. And further on in this scripture right now, Jesus continues to talk about, look at the lilies in the field. Man, God just blesses them. They just, God just take care of them. They just come on up. You got wild flowers that's out there. Ain't nobody putting a hand on them. Ain't nobody touching them. And they are coming up and they are beautiful. You know, we got plants in our houses and our yards and stuff, and we're trying to plant, get our plants to grow. And we ain't got no green thumb. And we were like, man, we're trying to get this plant to grow. We're trying to get this plant to grow. It just ain't growing right, right? I know y'all know what I'm talking about. Plant just dry and dead. We got a couple sitting outside our front door right now. But yeah, we do. We know they struggling right now. They look like they ain't having a famine. But the ones out there in the fields, out there in the wild, beautiful, beautiful. Who's taking care of them? God. Jesus is letting us know, look, there's food, clothing, water, stuff like shelter. That stuff is necessary, but your pursuit of them is your priority in pursuing them is twisted. Okay. Here, Jesus, he warns us not to be so caught up in these things, not to be so caught up in the pursuit of food and drink and clothing, you know, to the point where it gets us off track of what's more important. It's obvious that we need food, water, and clothing and shelter. You know what I'm saying? But they should not be our pursuit of every day. When I wake up in the morning, when we wake up in the morning, we open our eyes, our agenda, our purpose, our goal for the day should not be the pursuit of these things. Okay. It should be something much bigger than that. When we wake up each day in the morning, our priority should be on pursuing our purpose. It should be on pursuing our purpose. We wake up in the morning trying to figure out how are we going to, you know, work this job or get this extra money or get this extra business opportunity, get this extra whatever so that we can get some extra money so we can buy some extra things. That's what we do. When we wake up in the morning, it should be, okay, what is my purpose for the day? Let me pursue my purpose for the day. You know, here at the Crosstown Church of Memphis, here is our purpose. You know, that is to love God, love people, and serve the city. And when I say serve the city, I mean serve people, okay? That's our purpose. That's the core vision, the core purpose, the core values of Crosstown Church of Memphis. Love God, love people, and serve the city. We should prioritize pursuing our needs over our wants. So I want you to walk away with this here today, what I just said. And all that I'm saying today is this: we should prioritize pursuing our needs over our wants. Okay. So again, our series title is You Want Blank, But You Need Blank. For those of you that are taking notes, you want blank, but you need blank. Blank. So today's subtitle is Grace and Mercy. All right. Grace and Mercy. So every week we're going to be looking at our wants versus our needs. So today, the main focus, what we're talking about today is grace and mercy. You want grace, but you need mercy. And I'm just like all of y'all, right? Give me some grace. I want some grace. We all want some grace. Grace feels good, don't it? It feels good. It just do. You know, it sound good, feel good, taste good, smell good, look good, all that. But, you know, mercy is like, when we think about mercy, it's like, okay, something's wrong. Then when we think about grace, it's like, okay, something good. When we think about mercy, okay, something wrong. So, but here's the deal. You want grace, but you need mercy. It's obvious we all need grace and mercy. We need both of them, okay? It's obvious that we do. But the way we live, we pursue grace far more than we pursue mercy. We spend more time asking God for grace and less time asking him for mercy. We spend so much time asking God for things that we've convinced ourselves that we need, when in fact, these are things that we want. We spend a whole lot of time, God, I need this guy. We ask him for a better job, a better career, so that we can make more money to buy a bigger house, to buy more cars, to take trips, to get a bigger TV, to get more clothes and more shoes. This is what we're praying and asking God. God, give me this. I need a better job, God. Why do I need a better job, God? Because I got to make some more money, God. I need some more money, God, because I got to get some more stuff. And we've convinced ourselves that these things that we're pursuing, that we're asking God for, are things that we need. Why do we need a bigger TV? Because the one we got here, sitting on the wall over here, the image on is not as good as the image that I'm seeing there. It's somebody else's sister so-and-so got a TV. Oh my gosh, that thing, what is that, 4K or something like? Man, I need me a new TV. I need me some more clothes. Why? Because these clothes right here, man, these jeans, they're starting to fade a little bit. You know what I'm saying? They ain't sharp. They ain't colorful like they used to be. You can tell that they faded. I need me some new jeans, you know? These shoes right here, and I'm going to get on this, boy. You know, I got Air Force Ones. I be tearing my Air Forces up. I ain't going to lie. I do. I do. And I'm guilty. But, man, it amazes me. It blows my mind when I get a crease in my Air Forces. How many people be clowning me for that? People be clowning me. Like, man, what you doing? Man, what's wrong? They be laughing at me and everything. I'm like, oh, man, these just shoes, man. I ain't tripping over that. You know, why you need some more? Why you need some more? They working, ain't you? They ain't ripped, they ain't torn. They dirty a little bit. Clean them. Put them in the washing machine. Get to brush, clean them up or whatever. Make them look spotless. You know what I mean? You know, we spend so much time. And what we do, we've convinced ourselves that these are things that we need. And we are up here asking God for these things. We ask God for grace, you know, so we can pay down. We asking God, you know, for a better job, to make more money and stuff, to do what? So we can pay down the credit cards that we maxed out doing what? Buying stuff. We done create a big old debt, you know, and we all guilty. I'm guilty. I ain't gonna lie. I'm preaching to me too, okay? We done maxed out these credit cards, and now we asking God to bless us. God bless us, man. We in a bad situation. We got a bad financial situation. We gotta get bless us, God. I need to make some more money, God. Gotta pay these debts down. Your credit cards, they calling my phone. I gotta do something. Why do I say this is asking God for grace? Why do I say that? Some of you are probably trying to figure out why. Okay, we understand what you're talking about, Pastor Byron. We get that, but why do you say that's asking God for grace? Because we're asking him for something we don't need and maybe we don't deserve. Mm-hmm. Think about it. We're asking God for things that we don't need or maybe we don't deserve. Grace is this. So let's define grace. Grace is free and unmerited favor. Free and unmerited favor. In this case, from God. So we're asking God for free and unmerited favor for the things that we want, that we've convinced ourselves these are things that we need, and we really don't need these things or we don't deserve them. I hope that makes some sense to you guys. We want God to show us grace, show us favor with things that we may not need but have convinced ourselves that we need them. Thus, asking him for favor to gain what? We asking God for favor to gain our wants. Mm-hmm. That's grace. We asking God for grace. We also spend a lot of time asking God for grace in areas of our lives where we have messed up. We messed up. And so we asking God for some grace. We want him to fix the mess that we've created that did not need to be. We're in a mess that we've created ourselves and we didn't have to be in this mess. We made our own beds. Now that we done made our own beds, guess what? We don't want to lay in it. We don't want to lay in the bed that we made. We want him to give us what? A new bed. We done made this bed. We don't want to lay on it. God bless me right now. Show me some grace because I need a new bed. You made it. We get ourselves into messes pursuing things that were wants and not needs. And now we want God's grace to get us out. What I mean is that we want God to show us favor by fixing the situation without us having to suffer any punishment. Did y'all catch that? We want God to show us favor by fixing the situation that we created, pursuing our wants that we've convinced ourselves were needs, and we want God to fix it without us having to suffer any type of punishment. That there, if God did that, that's what you call grace. That's what you call free and unmerited favor. Maybe, somebody say maybe, if y'all hearing me, if y'all listening to me out there, somebody say maybe, we should change our priority into asking God for more mercy. What is mercy? So So let's talk about mercy. Mercy is compassion or forgiveness instead of punishment. It's passion or forgiveness instead of punishment. The difference is asking God to have compassion on us for the mess that we created and to forgive us instead of punishing us. I'm finna get real deep with y'all right now. This is what we call a whole different thinking right now. Maybe you think like this, praise God you do. If you don't, you better pay attention, all right? The difference is this, I'm gonna say this one more time. The difference is this, asking God to have compassion on us for the mess that we created, you know what I'm saying, instead of, and to forgive us instead of punishing us, okay? We're not focused on God fixing it for free. We're focused on God forgiving us for free. There's a difference of focus when it comes to asking God for grace as opposed to asking God for forgiveness. When we ask God for grace, we're focused on asking God to fix it for free. But when we're focused on mercy, we're focused on asking God to forgive us for free. We still want something for free, but our focus is wrong. Our mindset is wrong. When we're asking God for something for free, whether we're focused on wanting him to fix it for free or to forgive us for free, the difference is our mindset. The difference is our heart. The difference is our focus, our motivation. What's behind this request that we're asking of God? What is it? So we need to change our mindset, change our heart. God, don't fix it for free. I'm asking you to forgive me for free. We need mercy for pursuing so many things that we convinced ourselves were things that we needed, but were things that we wanted. And now we have created a whole mess. Here's a prayer. God, I made my bed and now I must lay in it. Forgive me for not making it right the first time. While I lay here, God, in this bed, don't punish me, but teach me how to make it right. That's a prayer right there that really reveals the heart of someone who realized that they made a mess. And we're our expectation, our request, our desire from God is, God, I made this mess, God. I did. And I'm wrong for this. I should have did this the right way the first time. And so, God, I'm asking you not to punish me in the midst of this situation that I've created. But what I am asking you to do is to teach me how to do it right. That's mercy. You know, we have a greater need for forgiveness of our sins over the want of God's grace. I hope you caught that. We have a greater need for the forgiveness of our sins over the want of God's grace. Need versus want. You know, when he wants to show us grace, he'll do it on his own terms. He gives us grace. We ask for forgiveness. So when it comes to grace, grace is not something that we should be asking for. Grace is something that God gives us on his own terms. If there's anything that we should be asking God for, we should be asking him for forgiveness. And in the process of us laying in our own bed, the bed that we met, that we created, the bed that we have to lay in because we're the ones who created this mess, and we're asking God to forgive us and not punish us and teach us how to do this right, in the midst of us going in that place and going in that motion and going in that direction and trying to fix this thing, then all of a sudden, as God sees us doing what we're supposed to do, and he sees us having a change of heart and a change of mind, and we're trying to do the right thing, then he starts giving us grace. We don't have, his grace is not something that we should be asking for. It's something that God gives us on his own terms. We should be asking for mercy. You know, another area that we want grace, but we need mercy, is with others, with people. We want people to give us grace without us giving them any. You know, this world has tricked us into being people who always look for a handout, people who always looking for a deal, always looking for a hookup, always looking for something for free. You know, we have this privileged attitude, like this world and everyone in it owes us something. Don't nobody owe you nothing, but we got this privileged attitude like, man, you know, and if we don't get it, we get upset. We get twisted and bent out of shape. Why do you feel like someone owes you something when you haven't made much investment in them? I mean, think about it. You go to a store and they don't give you a discount on something because you saw somebody, or somebody told you, or Facebook told you, or you saw an ad, or you saw something in a book, and you go in there expecting a discount and they don't give you a discount and you get upset. Why? What you upset for? What have you done for them? What have you done for them? But you want them to do something for you. Come on, man. Come on. You spend so much time pursuing the things that you want that you've convinced yourself that were things that you need, and very little time investing in things or people outside of yourself. We don't spend enough time investing in people outside of ourselves. Everything that we're pursuing it for our own personal wealth, our own personal gain, our own personal experiences. And along the way, we'll drop a little tidbits to other people here and there along the way. We'll drop them some crumbs here along the way. But our pursuit, and we don't hardly make that much investment in the lives of other people. You know, some people are doing that and they're doing a great job, and we need to learn from them. We need to look at their lives as an example so that we can kind of emulate and see what is that they're doing that's making a difference. You know, you want to make more withdrawals than you make deposits. That's the type of attitude that is. You know, you want grace from people, start giving grace. If you want grace from people, start giving grace. You know, I heard Les Brown once say this. He says, provide more service than what you work for. And when I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh. And this was something that in my young 20s, you know, in the transition of my life and when I you know, start seeking Christ, and actually even before that, I don't even know where it came from. As God is my witness, I don't know where it came from, but there was something naturally in me that I was willing and ready to give more than what I was working for, you know, or that I worked for. It just was. I don't know why, but it was. And he said, so Les Brown says, provide more service than what you work for. This is a mentality of giving. It's not a mentality of working for free. Forget, that's not what this is. Okay, so don't get stuck on that. It's a mentality of giving, all right? I remember when I used to work for the Department of Transportation in Iowa. I worked for the construction and engineering department. And there were times where, you know, we had some downtime because we were waiting on information coming from the state office and, you know, on maybe some plans or something like that, that we had to go out and survey land or whatever, right? Waiting on blueprints and stuff like that, some information on stuff. Anyway, so during our downtimes, you know, we'll be sitting around the office and waiting on, you know, for this information to come down the pipeline to us. And so while we'd be sitting around the office, we were always looking for something to do. A lot of times guys just sat around the office, you know, laughing, joking, you know, looking at magazines and stuff like that. And I would go downstairs, because we all had, all of us had our own state vehicles because we had to travel a lot. I would go downstairs and I would get my bosses, the supervisors, all those people who were in positions higher than me, I would get the keys from their cars. I go to them one by one and say, hey, where's your key? You get the keys. I'll get the keys to their car. Or I go down to the maintenance office because they had spare keys and get the keys to their cars. And I would go outside and wash their cars. Nobody was paying me to do that. But there was something in me said, you know, I'm not going to sit here just with idle time because there's nothing profitable about this at all. I'm going to go do something. You know what I'm saying? Let me go help somebody out. Man, my boss's car is dirty. Let me go clean his car for him. And I'll go downstairs, clean his car. And they would come out and look at me. Dang, Byron, you clean my car? I said, yes, sir, I cleaned your car. It's nice and good for you. Here you go. Here go the keys. And they would drive off. You know, I don't know why. I just did, you know. It's about a heart of giving. When you give someone something, the intent is to be a blessing to them. You know, think about this. When God gives you grace, his intent is to be a blessing to you. So you don't need to go asking God for blessings. We have enough stuff on us where we need to be asking him for mercy. You know, we want people to bless us, but we're not so quick to bless them. You know, you don't ask for grace again, you give it. You don't ask for it, you give it. What we need is more mercy. We need to ask for more mercy from others, and we need to give more mercy to others. The book of Romans chapter 3 and 23, and I'm almost done here, guys. The book of Romans chapter 3 and 23, it says this: for everyone has sinned, and we've all fallen short of God's glory and his standards. We need to ask others to forgive us more because we're all guilty of doing wrong by people. Our pride keeps us from asking for something that we all need. And we let our pride get in the way. Instead of asking for forgiveness for our wrongs toward other people, we want them to give us grace. Instead of asking for forgiveness, we want them to give us grace. We want favor when we need forgiveness. Just as we need more mercy from people, we also need to give more mercy to people. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21 and 22. It says, then Peter came to Jesus, and he asked, he says, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? And Jesus said, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Amen. Continue to forgive. He's letting us know there is a greater need to ask for forgiveness. There's a greater need to do what? Give forgiveness. All right. You want grace, but you need mercy. Grace is something God and people give you on their own terms. You shouldn't spend so much time asking or expecting it. Mercy is something that you ask for from God and from others. Spend more time pursuing mercy and giving it.
If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.